All right. My mic quit working. Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Chase McKay, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. Let's go to Mike Vrabel.
When it falls, and certainly we'll use the time to best to our advantage to try to get guys back healthy, give some guys some rest that have played a lot of football for us, and see if find ways to improve.
Does getting that win before the bye, does that, I don't want to say minimize, but that does that put some of the areas for improvement in better perspective for you?
Well, I think we're always going to be looking for ways to improve or things that we can do to help our players, help our team, and win. Whether that's taking care of the football or protecting the quarterback, or tackling, X plays, a lot of everything that we potentially could work on. We'll try to focus on and see if we can get it done. You don't have a whole lot of time. It's we pick up a practice on Wednesday and we'll pick one up on Monday. Coming back, but this isn't going to be a week that we're going to be able to scrimmage.
With all the injuries that you guys have had, not only this year but last year, and having to add parts here and mix people in and out, how important has it been that Ryan has been able to constantly answer the bell and be under center every game?
Well, his toughness is certainly appreciative. I appreciate it. I know the football team appreciates it. To be able to stand in there and, get hit and try to, work through his progression and, take care of the football and all those different things. I think that the more times that the quarterback gets hit in this league, the more chance he has for error. So we have to work on that. We have to improve that. But it's been great that he's been able to exhibit that kind of toughness, and make plays to help us win.
What helps you get to the bottom of the X plays that you've given up?
I mean, it just... there's only a few things that you can look at. Is it, a mental error, or is it just a scheme beater, or, was it just a technique error or a physical error where a guy, somebody got beat, or the quarterback had time or missed tackles, we do all that in a self scout and go from there.
What you see on
at this point, it's a mix of.
A collective of all those things.
You feel like Caleb, is it physical at all, in terms of the X plays and getting beat, or is it more of a technique thing with him? Or
we have to clean up some of those things and not get beat and not give up plays over our head, for anybody involved. And we'll keep working on it.
You always talk about confidence being built by repeated success.
Yeah.
You repeatedly have been able to win these games shorthanded. How much does that play into your team's, confidence going in, knowing you're missing this guy, that guy, and the other guy?
Well, I think that they, one, they fight and they compete, and I love that about them. They're not afraid to play in a close game if it gets to that. We would rather it not. We've said that numerous times, but they understand what the situation is, what it requires. Whether that's offensively in a four-minute drill or defensively to be able to execute in the end of the game. And, I think this, the guys that are in there each week, I give a lot of credit to the coaches to be able to, get some guys ready that maybe haven't been with us for a long amount of time. And then ultimately the credit goes to the players on the field that are doing it.
So well on third down defense yesterday, and how big a key do you think that was to?
Well, it's a huge key to be able to affect the quarterback. I thought we mixed some coverages. I thought it was a good mixture of man and zone, and when we brought some pressure or when we dropped out of there, I thought that was a good mix. And then guys were trying to do their job to either affect the quarterback or be in the right spots in coverage.
You mentioned this offseason what a priority red zone was. I was trying to remember the figure that you used for how much the game is played there, and also if you increased your emphasis on red zone this offseason.
Yeah, probably 30% of the game is spent in the red zone or on third down, and that's a large chunk of it. We have to be better offensively on third down. That's about being in third and manageable and eliminating the third and long situations that the number, everybody's numbers aren't very good. So, right now our focus is going to be about, staying on track, on schedule offensively to create some of those, you know, third and three, third and two, third and five situations, and then convert them. And then just trying to find ways to get down to the red zone where we've been really good.
Seeing rewards, I guess, from all that time that you focused on the red zone?
Well, I mean, I think so. I mean, we've been, you know, pretty good. I think guys understand where they're supposed to be. And, you know, I think Ryan's done a good job of distributing the football. I think we've run it in when we've had opportunities to as well.
The second down play at the goal line looked like you dropped both Jeff and Pierre, and it caused a little confusion. What was the basis of that, and how unusual to drop your two biggest guys maybe in that situation?
Well, just trying to pack the paint. You know, just trying to give them a different look and not being the same thing. Probably what, you know, not what they were anticipating.
You come close to picking that?
Well, they were close. You know, not as close as David, but they were close.
Is he lobbying for some time at corner now?
No, he's leading the league, leading the team in PBUs, though. He extended his lead in pass breakups. I reminded everybody of that again.
Is he misleadingly athletic for his size?
Well, he's got good power, good burst. You know, he's continuing to help us and impact the game and play strong against the run and try to get a push, and you know, got a big holding call the other day. So, you know, I think he's a very improved player for us, probably one of our most improved players, and you know, that's a testament to obviously Tier and the defensive staff.
Raiden's due stepping in for.
Yeah, I thought that you know, Dylan had some good plays. I thought, you know, going against a very good front, interior rushers and active linebackers, and, you know, thought that he went in there and, yeah, played well enough for us to win.
Obviously, David made incredible play at the end, but it seemed like he was all over the field yesterday. Yeah. How good was he, and how important has he been when you've been shuffling other linebackers around him?
Just, you can't say enough about his competitive spirit. I mean, he's not the biggest linebacker. But he plays with relentless effort, great instincts. You know, just love being around him every day. You know, just the type of person that he is and how hard he plays and how important it is to him. You know, this, I know that this football team means a lot, and, you know, he means a lot to us.
Last week at Indy, he almost jumped around, I think, on the very first drive. I mean, is that just been something you guys have been specifically working with him, making that type of play?
What's that?
When David jumped the route in Indy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, just, you know, he's just trying to, you know, he's an instinctive player. You know, he sees the ball and he goes and gets it, and sometimes he's in the right place and sometimes he's not, and we have to live with that. But he plays very, very aggressive and downhill on the runs, and, you know, he is, you know, sometimes, you know, that's how it goes sometimes. You jump it and they throw it there, and then the other time, you know, you jump it and they throw it backside like Wentz did yesterday. So he came back and he made the right play at the end.
It didn't seem like Daly had a lot of help. What were you doing philosophically with him, and how did you think he held up?
Well, I mean, I would probably disagree in that statement. We've tried to protect those guys, and, you know, whether we're chipping for them or, you know, got a tight end over there. But, again, you can't. You know, we can't chip for everybody, and we're trying to do the best that we can to protect the quarterback. You know, I thought he settled down. I thought Dennis really settled down. I don't think that any of us offensively started out very well, and you know, I think that we were able to, you know, get Derek going a little bit. You know, we were able to get into the drive. You know, made a great play on the screen, came back and followed it up with Dontrell. And unfortunately, some of those runs that we hit, you know, they called us for a penalty for whatever reason. And I'm not sure what they saw, but that's what they saw. So it was good to see Dennis settle down. But, you know, we'll have to be better collectively to help a quarterback not get hit as many times as he did.
Optimism do you have with just some of these guys that have been a little banged up coming back after this bye week, or will it be a little bit longer?
Yeah, I mean, hopeful. You know, I mean, hopeful, but we'll have to see. We haven't been out in practice, and, you know, we'd love to have them all back. You know, so when we get them back, we get them back.
Is there a chance that some of the guys who've been on IR since the start, like
Molden or Racing might be closer to coming back?
There's a chance. I don't know what percentage, but they can come back, but I just don't know if they will or not.
And I guess the guys that are banged up will stay here during the bye, just continue to rehab and try to get themselves ready. Is that their plan for the bye?
Yeah, that's their plan. Their plan is they have a responsibility to the football team that when they can't perform and do their job, that they stay here and get treatment. Yeah, I don't think they're going to have much of a vacation outside of 460 Great Circle.
You have been leaning on Josh with a couple call-ups. I know that would have been his last call-up. You went with Fitz instead and didn't wind up targeting him. What was kind of the basis for that choice?
Just a decision. I mean, we gave Josh an opportunity a couple weeks ago, give Dez one, and we'll see where it goes after this bye week.
How did Kalu do filling in for Booker?
I mean, okay. I mean, you know, again, this did okay. And we're just making sure that everybody's on the same page and, you know, doing a job. And you know, but I thought that we had some good plays and, you know, a couple of plays I thought he could have made, and I'm sure he thought so as well.
Let's talk about the hidden yards in the game. How smooth has the transition to Stonehouse been, and how good has he been for you through?
Well, I thought that yesterday we expect more. You know, we really do. I think that some guys are covering, you know, really well. You know, we get three tackles from a tight end. You know, I think he can kick it better. I thought our kickoff coverage did what we asked him to do, which was go down there with some speed. And, you know, they were excited about covering kicks. But, you know, Stoney has had, up to this point, some really, really great kicks. And I don't think yesterday was his best day. Admittedly, he'll tell you the same thing. So, we just got to get some more hang time on them and give them guys opportunity to go down there and make plays.
You guys' last touchdown drive, Mike, the I think it's third and goal, the delay game, did you have an opportunity to call timeout there?
I just thought Ryan was snapping the ball. I went around, turned around, told Auk, like, hey, we're going to go for three. You know, we'll kick a field goal. And then Ryan didn't like what he saw. And, you know, we'll just, you know, have to make sure we adjust and make sure that we're all on the same page, that Ryan doesn't think I'm calling a timeout when I'm talking to the special teams coordinator about the plan.
How much of this week for you is about self-scout and looking at what you did the first time?
Well, I think it always is. I mean, I think we're always trying to conscious of what we're doing well and how we can continue to do it well. But also, you know, who can continue to help us? You know, who should play more? Who's earned the right to play more? You know, maybe who should play less? So those are decisions that we have to make.
When it comes to getting a head start, too, just because you just played the Colts here in the last 2 weeks, how beneficial is that for you guys?
We've had a couple of these unusually quick turnaround games with division opponents. You know, I'm sure they'll have, you know, they may have some personnel things that have changed. We'll have some things that'll change, but, you know, the core of who they are, you know, won't change, and how they want to be physical, and, you know, I'm sure some plays will come up in both games that were the same. We'll just have to see what it looks like when we get into the game and not be able to predict, hey, this is how it's going to go. They could do some things differently, and we may have some things that are different as well.
You talked about Chip help, and you've kind of been very complimentary of Hassan and his ability as a blocker and pass pro. He only had two snaps, but is that something that could potentially be something that you look for going forward, is getting him more involved as a way of protecting some of those guys and improving protection?
Yeah, it could.
You clearly had a plan for Samo. Did he take what he does on the practice field to the game?
Yeah, I mean, he was close to a punt. You know, I mean, we were close to a couple punts. You know, Sam came through there on the first one. Lonnie came through. I thought that was a good plan. You know, they have a good punter, and, you know, our ability to pressure him probably forced him into some of his not best punts. And, you know, we just had a few, you know, hit the ground, which, you know, you'd like to make sure that we're going up there and catching all our punts.
Several guys said yesterday in the locker room that's good to win, obviously, but there's still way more for this team to do. Is it encouraging that you can win three in a row knowing that your best football is still definitely out in front of us?
I hope it's still in front of us. I do. I'm confident that it is. You know, it's just, you know, it's hard. They bust a run, and it could call back for, you know, a block in the back or whatever they call. you know, or Derek's close to squirting through on a run and gets tripped up there by the corner, which, you know, is still a great run, but, you know, we've seen him, you know, break through there and really make some magic happen. And defensively, it's like just continue to do what we're doing, but limit some of the X plays. If we can do that, you know, a lot of three and outs, you know, doing a great job of stopping the run, you know, lately. I mean, we obviously had the opening week, you know, mistakes in the run game, but other than that, I think we've really played the run pretty aggressive and pretty physical and pretty sound. So special teams looks like it's trending in the right direction. Didn't get an opportunity to have any kickoff returns or any real punt returns, but I thought our coverage units were good, and they're working off each other. So there's a lot of things to improve.
Chase Willie and D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Good, my mic decided to work again. Mike Vrabel addressing the media, some things there. I know you had a few things, Willie, that stood out to you, but I'm going to say this. A lot is being made about Derrick Henry that, yes, he went over 100 yards for the second consecutive game. He had 28 carries, and he averaged 3.6, which is not great. That's not a great average. But I'll contend he had a couple of big plays that were taken away that he looked pretty good on because of penalties. So I think you do have to that in.
You factor that in, but that is a factor for every team over the long term. I think that's sort of going to level itself out, or at least, you know, every running back is probably over the course of a season going to have a couple of calls negate good runs. But one thing, the trend I'm noticing with Henry, and I'm doing the numbers right now as we speak here. I'll be done in a second to be able to tell you, but I'm seeing a trend of first half, second half. Like, what do we see when Derrick Henry is really on his game? He can really put games away in the second half. Part of the reason that they're not winning going away is that they're not getting the trees to fall in the forest in the second half, and him just breaking down the door. And not just, you know, with getting consistent first downs, but the big home run, right? He has no home runs this year, what we would call, right? He's got some good runs.
Yeah, but you know, they're like 14, 15, 16,
yes,
somewhere in that
range. We haven't seen the big breakaway that has separated him from the normal good back, right? I mean, he's doing well. There's nothing to sneeze at, these numbers. But I'm hoping that gear gets there. But in particular, in the second half, he's not getting much. Okay, so let's take week one, 21 carries for 82 yards. And in the first half, of those 82 yards, he had 12 carries for 56 yards in the first half. Okay, week two, let's just throw out. That was a bad week, bad first half, bad second half, bad game for the Titans.
Yep.
Week three, 20 carries for 85 yards, but the first half, 11 carries for 64 yards. The Colts game, 22 carries, 114 yards, but in the first half, 14 carries for 99. Then yesterday, 28 carries for 103 yards. But in the first half, 18 for 83. So it is a massive difference the way he's running in the first half and the second half. So that's something in the self-scout, and you heard the question asked to Mike Vrabel, you know, when you self-evaluate during a bye week, I would try to figure out why can they not run the ball like they have in the first half. There's some encouraging first halves where you're saying to yourself, okay, Derrick Henry is ready to bust down the door, that big run is coming, and they're just going to win going away. They have not been able to separate in the second half, and part of it is, you know, they're not doing much of anything offensively in the second half, but particularly a strong first half of running, you would think. Mm-hmm. When you've got the lead, like the last couple of weeks, they've been able to play with the lead in the second half, all three games. That's usually when you do some really good damage with a good running game, right? You run when you win. I mean, you want the clock running, and you want to bust down the door, but they're not able to do that for whatever reason.
Yeah, it's a tale of two halves when it comes to the running game, because you look at what they were able to do in the first half, and you are encouraged. You know, Derrick Henry found those creases. He was getting up the field. The line was doing a good job at blocking for him. Even the screen plays, I mean, were great for Derrick Henry. He had a few of them called back, two or three called back, big runs on penalties. Yep. So you add that to his total, it brings up his halftime numbers even higher.
Yeah, because those were the penalties, I think, were all in the first half.
Yeah, I believe they were in the first half. But then you just, again, you're trying to figure out, well, what changed so much from the first half to the second half, you know, because you were able to run the ball on these guys. Whatever formations y'all decided to line up in, the offensive line was doing a good job. They were getting the push. Derrick Henry was finding those creases. So what is it that you did in the first half that you were successful at that didn't happen in the second half? That's what I'm trying to figure out. I'm pretty sure they're trying to figure out the same thing. Derrick Henry was almost at 100 the second week in a row, and then ended up with just barely over 100 for the whole game.
The Raiders. The Raiders game was similar, right?
Yeah.
11 for 64. And remember how they activated him as a pass catcher in that game. Mm-hmm. But most of the damage he did was in the first half. I like how they're getting innovative with mm-hmm. him as a pass catcher. And that's a good thing. That's a dimension that they're trying to evolve a little bit. But boy, it's really eye-opening. He only has 95 rushing yards in the second half in the season. And that's why you can't just look at the yards. I mean, that tells you part of the story. It's great they ended up with 100 yards the last couple of games. Mm-hmm. From your fantasy perspective, that's all good, right? He's getting touchdowns. But you want a little bit, you got to look a little closer and say, okay, if he's still the guy that can carry you, and for this team to be good, he's got to carry him, right? They just don't have the weapons in the passing game. They're not going to have the weapons.
Yeah, but look, I mean,
they need how can they get him to a next level to where he is carrying the team like he did before the injury last year?
Well, I mean, I think he's already, I mean, what's throwing people off is he's playing like your normal running back, even though I think he's above average than the normal running back. What he's doing in the passing game the last few weeks, I think, has been really good.
That's
adding another element
to
it as well. I mean, like his yards from scrimmage have been pretty darn good over the course of the last few weeks as Todd Downing has worked him into the running game. I mean, he's at 121 yards receiving. All of last year in 9 games, he was 154. In 2020, he was at 114. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he's already surpassed, and 2020 was his best year. So he's already surpassed that. His career high receiving is 206 in 2019. So, I mean, that's nothing to, you know, that's important. I think the fact that they're using him more in the passing game, it's just he's not, like you said, he doesn't have the home run yet.
But he's also in the second half, 41 carries, 95 yards.
Not
that's
good.
That's second half carrying.
Totals.
The whole
40
season.
Carries, 95
41
yards.
41 carries, 95 yards.
That's horrible.
In the five second half.
That's not good. And you don't know because here's what makes it so perplexing. Because out of the 41 carries, 95 yards, you don't know who it is. You don't know if it's Derrick Henry or if it's the offensive line. Because if you point to the offensive line, somebody can come back and say, I can say, well, they block. I mean, they're doing a great job in the first half. So it just can't be all the offensive line. And what if you say it's Derrick Henry? Well, Derrick Henry was running like a monster in the first half. So why is it that the first half looks so much different in the run game than the second half? Are they blocking different? Are they running different plays? I'm sure that's not the case. But I'm sure that's something Vrabel and the coaching staff is trying to figure out.
Vrabel mentioned hidden yardage. We'll discuss that and what that means exactly coming up next. It's Chase, Willie, and D-Mace. But first, Willie, you have a word about Lone Pronto.
Okay, let's talk Lone Pronto as I crunch numbers here for Derrick Henry. What Lone Pronto is doing is crunching the numbers for a lot of people right now and helping people unlock the home equity and give them a method. If you are looking at some numbers and you're saying, hey, those credit card bills are going up, those high interest loans are really starting to pile up on us, how do we help? Well, it's in your home's equity. Your home value is very, very good right now. And so what Loan Pronto is doing is saying, how can we help you? Well, how about the zero cost cash out home refi? You can get tens of thousands of dollars in as little as 2 weeks, pay off the credit cards or other high interest loans, and consolidate everything into one super low payment. And people who are doing this are cutting around $800 from their monthly budget. That's good numbers for you. And even if your home mortgage rate goes up a little bit, it's offset by the fact that your bills are paid. Those credit card rates are going to zero. You get rid of that interest. And here is part two of the plan. When the rates come back down, Loan Pronto will refinance you again for free. So if you need cash right now, don't wait any longer. Call Loan Pronto and do it right this moment. You can even skip your next two house payments altogether. Call Loan Pronto at 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780 or go to loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781, subject to lender approval.
We're back, 102.5, The Game. Chase, D. Mace, and Willie, or Chase, Willie, and D. Mace. Back at you, talking Tennessee Titans. Had a big win last night, a close win, but a big win last night versus the Washington Commanders, which they go into the bye 3-2. This team was 0-2 at one point, 1-3, three straight right before the bye. So they go to the bye, Willie, feeling good about themselves. And we were discussing the run game and how good it is in the first half, but then how inept it is in the second half, and who do you sort of point the finger at, you know, moving forward. But that's been, you know, that's been the whole offense, period. It's not just the running game. It's the passing game as well. You know, who is to blame for, you know, this team playing so well, but then so poorly, you know, in the second half. And again, guys, I haven't been a part of a team that's been this way. Now, I've been a part of a team that has played crappy for four quarters, but I've never been a part of a team where you play so well consistently in the first half, and then in the second half, consistently you play bad. And there seems to be no fix for it. That's the disappointing part about it. And that's the alarming part about it, is that there seemed to be no clear-cut fix for getting this offense on track in the second half, whether it be the pass game or the run game. Now, in the pass game, we can say, hey, listen, they just don't have enough playmakers. So eventually, and I think I said this last week, eventually teams figure it out. And if you don't have consistent pass catchers and big play guys, teams can do certain things to kind of make it very difficult for you to pass the ball. But in the run game, that's not the case. They got arguably the best running back in the National Football League. And they have an offensive line in regards to run blocking that is getting better. So I don't know where the disconnect is. Is it, you know, Downing with the play call in the second half? Is he, you know, too predictable, as many say? Or is it just this team, as they do in a from a passing standpoint, they just don't have enough playmakers beside the running back, you know, to generate yards or generate big plays in the running game for a full four quarters?
But, okay, and everything you just said is absolutely true. You know, not having enough playmakers. But one, is the division bad enough that mm-hmm. it isn't going to matter, that they can capitalize and they can win that? And is the AFC maybe down enough? I'm not going to say bad, down enough mm-hmm. that, who knows, they could do something with that. Prime example, do I think that the Cincinnati Bengals were better than the Titans going into that playoff game last year? No, mm-hmm. but they caught lightning in a bottle at the right time. Who's to say that the Titans win this division. They're obviously in the playoffs as the AFC South champion, and they catch the Chiefs or the Bills on the right day. I mean, that's the NFL. I'm not banking on that by any means.
I hope you're not.
I'm not betting on that by any means. But, I mean, look, that's just kind of where it's at right now.
Well, that may be their saving grace, again, that this division isn't as good. I'm not going to say competitive because all of them basically are in a cluster right now. So that is the essence of competitiveness, excuse me. But there's no clear-cut, just like dominant team in this division. And then you look at the AFC, and up until this point, at the beginning of the season, it was like, man, the AFC is going to be tough. Like, it's going to be tough to get wins. But you look at the AFC, it hadn't panned out the way we thought it would pan out. You know, you look at all these divisions, and you would think, like, what were we seeing in the offseason that made us think that, you know, the AFC West was just going to be this ultra-competitive division where the Chargers are still trying to figure it out for some reason. They got all the firepower in the world. The Broncos are awful. Their quarterback has played awful. And the Raiders are awful. And their quarterback hadn't played well. So this whole AFC that we looked at and said, man, this is going to be the toughest division with the toughest conference ever. It's not playing out that way. You have, like we discussed earlier, you have two top-notch teams, and then everybody else is just okay. You know? So that's the saving grace for the Tennessee Titans, is that the predictions we had at the beginning of the season doesn't seem to be going that way. Now, it can change, and we can get into the second half of the season, and things can kind of ramp up in these divisions. But right now, the saving grace is the Titans are in the middle of a they are in the middle of a division or a conference that is okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Jags lost yesterday to the Texans was stunning.
Yeah, that was.
And they only scored 6 points.
And they're going to be kicking themselves for that game. This is why, you know, all of these things, you want to look beyond the yards and things like that. It's the mistakes, the key mistakes at key times. Lawrence had a couple of key turnovers at key times that cost them yesterday. They didn't do well in the red zone. And this is another thing that people have talked a lot about Todd Downing, right? And they've criticized him, but 11 touchdowns in 12 tries in the red zone. Now, would you like them to get to the red zone a little bit more? Yeah, particularly in the second half. But that is a huge stat. Ask the Jaguars, who ended up with field goals all day yesterday and some key turnovers, and they end up losing to the Texans. That's a tough one at the end of the season. So trying to separate yourself in this league in the games that are so, so close, the Titans' strengths are not really sexy. I said this at the beginning of the show. I'll say it again. Tell me how many people you know in your league, not just on your roster, are playing any Titans in your fantasy lineup other than Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
That shows you what Todd Downing has to work with. But they're finding a way. They found a way to win these last three games and stay relevant and stay at the top of their division. And as you are saying, Derek, it's a flawed division. Thank goodness.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very balanced league from top to bottom. There's a lot of teams that I was just looking over our predictions. There's a lot of teams that we thought were going to be really good, and you could count on that, like the Packers, like the Rams before the season, and there's kind of like not so sure. Bengals, you got some 2-3s and some teams that are struggling right now that you thought would be pretty good, and then some teams that you thought absolutely are going to be awful.
Right.
Giants, Jets, etc. They're a little bit better than we thought.
Coming up next, let's expand upon that. How far can finding a way get you in this AFC? Because the Titans would be the three seed right now. that's where they're at in this thing. We'll discuss that coming up next. But first, Derek's going to tell us about Cool Springs MD.
Absolutely, I will. And I know we have a lot of men listeners out there as well as women. But right now, I am focusing in on our men here. And I need to tell y'all something about Cool Springs MD. Over the years, more men have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge and his wife, Daphne, along with their experienced staff, give men the treatments required to improve their quality of life. Cool Springs MD services have already helped many men of Brentwood, Nashville, and the surrounding areas in Tennessee, that's including me, with improving their immune systems, energy levels, cognitive functions, and more. They are there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. There's no better time to achieve a healthy lifestyle. So what are you waiting on, man? Check it out. Give Dr. Jeffrey Lodge and Cool Springs MD a call today for an appointment at 615-486-3458. That's 615-486-3458. Or visit their website at coolspringsmd.com.
Chase, Willie, and D-Mace back here on 102.5 The Game. Doing a little evaluation of the Titans at the bye week. 3-2 and atop of the AFC South. Shocking loss yesterday by the Jaguars, who were the bee's knees a couple weeks ago when they went out to L.A. and whipped the Chargers. But they've fallen on hard times since then. Hard to figure out the Colts, who were fortunate to win, but they got it done against the Broncos, who seem to look the same way every week. Pretty good defense and offensive major question marks, but look, they beat them. So they've by no means separated themselves from the pack, but they're in the discussion here after 5 weeks. We're trying to evaluate all the things that the Titans are doing well, some of the things that they can improve on, and some of the things that are probably going to be issues the entire season. We pointed out in our last segment, Derrick Henry, 408 yards and a 3.9 yards per carry average through 5 games. But the separation in the first half and the second half, 63 carries for 314 yards, averaging 5 yards per carry in the first half and only 2.3 yards per carry in the second half, 41 carries for 94 yards in 5 second halves. So he has less than 100 yards on the season in second halves. Why is that? Especially when in 4 of the 5 games, they've been in the lead. They've been able to dictate and run the ball in the second half. And that's usually when you can do some serious damage, especially for Derrick Henry. But that has not even come close to happening here. Can that be an area of big improvement? Here's the other thing that we're always tracking.
Mm-hmm.
104 carries is number one in the league so far this year. But through 5 games, if you do that math, that is still way under, you know, the 400-yard threshold that he was hitting before. So wear and tear, yesterday that was his highest total of the season with 28, but they haven't gone to that well too often yet. But I do wonder, without Treylon Burks, without, you know, with a lot of the weapons that they have to work with, they're going to have to lean on Derrick Henry a lot. He's on pace for, you know, right about what we thought he was going to, right? With the over-under we put out in Vegas was 1,350. So do the math. He's on pace for around 1,300.
Okay. Right? So this is what I want to do. Looking at the AFC,
you
just laid that out perfectly. I would say right now at this point in the season, there are 5 categories to describe what you are as a team. Great, good, okay, meh, you suck.
Mm-hmm.
Agree? Is that pretty much kind of where we're at?
You can do anything you want, but the question is, what teams do you put in what categories?
That's what I'm going to ask. Buffalo Bills.
They're the top. They're the standard right now.
They're great. Chiefs.
They're right there with Buffalo.
You think they're great or you think they're good?
No, I think they're right there with Buffalo.
I'll give them the benefit of the doubt that they're great because they have a program that's been successful. They have the quarterback. They have the coach.
Okay, Titans are currently third, but I'll get back to them in a second. Baltimore.
They're okay. They're a good team.
They're good.
They're a good team.
You say good?
I say good.
Yeah, they're a good team.
Okay. I'll go good. Jets.
They're much improved, but I would put them in the okay.
I would say okay.
Yeah.
Chargers. Tough to figure out.
I still think they're good.
I still think they are a good team. I think come November, December, they'll start separating themselves.
And they'll go
up. Yeah.
No. Overhyped, but not ready to throw them under the throw them out of there yet.
Here's the interesting one for me. Miami. Because I actually think Miami is good, but their injuries are going to catch up to them.
But what's the story with Tua?
I mean,
they hadn't said. I doubt.
Now Teddy's hurt.
Yeah, not Teddy Bridgewater.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, going forward here, that factors in. Is Tua going to play again?
I don't know.
We had a lot of discussions on that last week. I mean, the doctor from the movie Concussion was saying he should hang it up.
Right.
I can't see him coming back no time soon. I'm not ruling him out for the season, but.
I'm leaning towards I don't think he comes back.
Well, and so remember what we say every year. When you lose your starting quarterback for the season, and sidebar, they just lost their backup quarterback, your season is sunk. So how can you be anything but not good?
Yeah.
They just go.
That's the hard part.
Major questions right now.
Colts.
I think they're okay.
I think they're meh.
I'm with you.
What is meh? Below
like,
okay?
Yeah. Like
not it's not very, bad.
Not awful, but not
awful, but
I still
not
think they're okay.
Okay, they're just that.
I still think they're okay. Now, the Taylor thing is the thing to watch. We saw it play out in this city years ago with Eddie George. When you have a bad toe, it's hard to run. And Jonathan Taylor, he's never missed a game before, never missed a practice before. He had to sit out. And to their credit, they gutted it out, but that's something to watch. The Titans completely neutralized him. So what's he look like? The next game that the Titans play is against the Colts, right?
Is that
who they play after the bye week?
Playing?
So
yeah.
That's my question. So, I still think because of the division, they're going to be okay.
Okay. Speaking of the division, Jags, team that just lost to the Texans.
They're okay.
I would say they're okay.
They're going to have good weeks, but I think they're still not there yet.
Denver.
They're okay.
Denver's.
I don't think they're good.
They're not.
But their defense is good.
Yeah,
you don't think that's a good defense?
They got. I think their head coach is an idiot, and it's not working with Russ.
But they're gonna when you can play defense, you're gonna be in the game.
Yeah, but I think the offense is gonna hurt them too much.
They've still got time to figure that out, though. You can't tell me that Jerry Jeudy and those guys they have talent on that offense. They've underachieved big time.
We think they have talent.
Is Javonte Williams a pretty good
but he's
talent? How long is he out?
You think he tore his ACL?
Yeah.
He tore his ACL?
Yeah, I think he's out, period.
Things that happened while I was in Europe.
Yeah,
okay.
If I'm not mistaken, he's out.
He did get some good news. I don't know what that means.
Well, I guess he may not be out for the season.
Did not suffer nerve or cartilage damage in his knee. Williams tore his ACL and LCL.
So he's out
for the season.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that I missed. Well,
yeah.
Let's definitely take that into account. But I still say easily okay.
Okay. This is New England.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, they won.
Yeah.
Won yesterday.
Won with Zappy.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
They zapped the Lions.
They didn't just win.
They destroyed the Lions.
The Lions, who we thought were better.
I think Derek and I are going to be wrong on our Lions prediction.
Exactly.
Cleveland.
I think they're
a okay team.
I think they could be better than their record shows.
But also remember what
they would have won the game. If the guy make the field goal last night, they win the game.
Yeah.
They played a lot of close games. They can run the ball and play, and they have a pretty good defense. And remember, whether we like it or not,
Deshaun Watson will be back pretty soon.
That's reason to maybe give them a little benefit of the doubt there. If they can stay in the hunt, and then get him now, who knows how that's going to go chemistry wise and everything? But that's one to keep your eye on. Easily okay.
Bengals, okay, right now.
Yeah, okay.
It's interesting. Right now, things are trending towards the. Both teams that were in the Super Bowl are not going to ever make the playoffs.
That's the way it's trending, yeah.
I mean, that's the way it looks right now.
When did that last happen? What, a couple of years ago?
I'd have to go back and look.
It wasn't that long ago.
Houston, Vegas, Pittsburgh, I'm going to say they suck.
I think Vegas is a notch above suck. I don't think they suck.
So you're going to go Vegas? Meh?
I think they're okay.
No, they're either okay or they're meh. They're two
okay.
Different categories.
They're okay.
I don't think they're okay. I think they're meh.
I think you're going to see tonight Vegas is a dangerous. They'll be right in the game tonight.
Coming up next, we will go around the NFL. Nick Kieser, the Rook, has prepared his questions. He is ready to go. He is excited. He's got his theme music. And it's the first time in a while that all three of us can participate in Around the NFL. We will do that next. Chase, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.